President Obama was in France and Germany today after yesterday's G20 summit in London. He'll be in Strasbourg for the NATO 60th anniversary summit tomorrow, then on to the Czech Republic and Turkey. It's his first European trip as president. And here to assess that overseas venture and more are our regular political analysts, E.J. Dionne of The Washington Post and David Brooks of The New York Times. Welcome to you both.
Good to be with you.
I want to play a little bit of tape from President Obama today at a town meeting in Strasbourg, mostly of young people. He was talking here about Americans' attitude towards Europe. Let's take a listen.
Instead of celebrating your dynamic union and seeking to partner with you to meet common challenges, there have been times where America has shown arrogance and been dismissive, even derisive. But in Europe, there is an anti-Americanism that is at once casual but can also be insidious.
David Brooks, I think I hear echoes of old Europe embedded in there. What do you make of that language?
Well, if he can't have bipartisanship here at home, he's going to create it across the Atlantic. And he's actually obviously tremendously popular over there. The question is whether it turns into pro-Americanism. And so far, I guess I would say I don't see too much evidence of that on Afghanistan, which he's talking about today. I don't see too much evidence on the substance of the summit. I don't see too much evidence.
Yeah, EJ, President Obama went in wanting much more from the G20 on stimulus. He met with a lot of resistance. Overall, how did the president do?
I don't think he did badly, but I want to linger on that moment that you just played because I had underlined it in my transcript also, and it was a classic Obama moment, honoring the other side's argument, embracing it, and then making his own point against anti-Americanism. How long has it been since an American president was able to hold a town hall meeting? You know, I think that scene is why many Americans voted for Obama, to win new friends for the United States and influence people. He got applause when he talked about closing Guantanamo and saying that about Abu Ghraib, that humiliating people is never a good strategy to battle terrorism. So I think there's a kind of base of support for Obama in Europe, and that he got out of the summit not with an enormous victory, but certainly not with a defeat. They did get some spending, though not in a stimulus directly, but through the IMF. Obama agrees broadly with the Europeans on the need for new regulation of the financial industry. He talked about that in Strasbourg. So what looked like, they spun it down going in, and so what looked like might have been a very difficult meeting came out pretty well for him.
Let's talk about the budget. The House and the Senate both passed budgets yesterday, slightly different versions, but pretty much what President Obama asked for. No Republican votes in either chamber. David, a wise move by the Republicans to unify in their opposition, or are there shoals in here?
Well, there are shoals, but, you know, you present a budget which implies $6.5 trillion in deficits over 10 years. That's going to be tough to get Republican votes. You know, I think that to me the biggest thing was that Obama got most of what he wanted from the Democrats, but even the Democrats struck down a lot of things. It seems to me like the cap-and-trade measure, which is the big global warming
measure, climate change,
probably going down. Some of the tax increases on the charitable deductions probably going down. So a lot of the revenue streams are going down. And so he didn't even get what he wanted. I do think it maximizes the danger that we will have high deficits because the revenue will not be there.
Although it's interesting, in a lot of the Obama losses were cosmetic losses, that they passed a lot of what Obama wanted in a slightly less honest way than Obama proposed it in his budget. I don't think cap and trade is dead. I think it's postponed. I think it's very clear the Congress wants to move on healthcare reform first. Cap and trade is much more complicated because it doesn't just split the parties, it splits regions of the country. And I interviewed Nancy Pelosi today, who said that this is a much more complicated thing to work out than healthcare reform will be.
Speaking of carbon emissions, let's talk about cars. David, the Obama administration took assertive action this week toward GM and Chrysler. We saw them ousting GM CEO Rick Wagoner, pushing for hard deadlines for them to cut costs or be forced into bankruptcy. Is the administration doing the right thing with this activist course?
I really think it's perilous. I mean, you never doubt their intelligence, a really intelligent analysis of where the auto industry is. You also never doubt their self-confidence. He could have said, hey, Detroit is a mess, I'm not getting in there. He put himself, his administration, the Democratic Party, right in the middle of it, ousting a CEO, really putting itself into a position to be responsible for what plants are closing and what plants are not closing. If I'm a citizen somewhere in northern Indiana or Michigan, I'm lobbying the Democratic Party as hard as I can to preserve my plants. And I just think it's perilous to get politics that much involved in these sorts of decisions.
EJ, a perilous way to go forward?
I agree it's perilous, but I don't think you had much choice. the basic decision was, are you going to try to save GM or not? He decided he was going to try to save GM. Once you do that, you've got to get very deeply engaged in the process of how. The administration decided that GM wasn't moving quickly enough to restructure itself. There will be a lot of pain in this restructuring. There will be some plants closed. But their view is you've got to take aggressive action to keep the company going so it can grow eventually someday. But he's taking a risk in doing it.
And we'll have to leave it there. E.J. Dionne of The Washington Post and Brookings Institution, David Brooks of The New York Times, thanks very much.
Thank you.